Welcome to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster.
You're listening to Straight Talk with Patty. My special guest today is Alicia Williamson Garcia. She'll be talking today with us about developing a biblical worldview. We had a lot of conversation going on during this conference of women in worship. So lean in and spend some time with us as we talk about biblical worldview. Here's Alicia as our conversation continues. Let's just keep talking.
Okay.
Break it down for the listeners all over the world.
Absolutely.
For the way you see different things infiltrating from this biblical worldview versus a hybrid worldview.
Well, it's a simple thing, and it's also a complex thing. A biblical worldview is simply seeing the world through the lens of the Bible and living in response to the Bible. It's all, the Bible is my system of absolute moral truth. It doesn't shift. It doesn't change. I do the work of interpreting it and to understand what God meant when he said what he said. So as I am developing that study skill, that learning skill, and I am learning what God said when he meant, as what he says informs how I live, then I'm living biblically. And it's broken down in many different ways, living and acting and teaching the things of Jesus. It is discipleship. It is, in my words, I would say it is seeing the world through the lens of the Bible and living your life through the lens of the Bible. It's pretty simple. The hybrid theology is, I think, Satan's biggest trick, because we don't always see how we say we are living biblically, but we follow so many patterns of the world. And then when people see us, I mean, I don't care. But because this is what someone said, well, I can do what I want to, no matter what they see. But if I am to portray Christ and I am to be seen as different from the world, then I'm going to carry myself in a different way. But we pattern so many things after the world. I'm not going to get any likes for this comment, but I will just tell you what I see. Okay? We pattern the world with body piercings. We pattern the world with tattoos. We pattern the world with fashion, or lack thereof, if you ask me. I'm sorry. We pattern the world. We don't get those things from the scriptures, which, and I can't, you know, Jesus didn't say it's in Deuteronomy 6. Jesus says it is written. So let me say, it is written that we are to carry ourselves in a way that we don't bring attention to ourselves, okay? Now, if I need to hook on later, Patty, and get that scripture for you, I will. It's in the book that we're using, a book written by my friend, Dr. Holly Brand. I believe it's in her discussion on modesty. But the scripture says we being modest is about presenting yourself in a way that you don't bring attention to yourself. So I think about how we ladies, especially, have bought into the culture, and we wear the cultural things, and we do the cultural things, and it draws attention to us, and nobody's thinking Christ when they look at us. And so, you know, I get pushback on that. Well, why is that such a big deal? Because he says that we're not supposed to draw attention to ourselves. Our whole purpose for being here is to draw attention to Jesus Christ. And, you know, well, you feel that way, and I don't, well, the scripture says we are not to draw attention to ourselves. We are to be humble. We are to serve. And that's just, you know, when it comes to being modest, holy, pure, it's in all things. Even if you came to my house and say, I knew you were on a special diet, but I have the freedom. Well, you know what, the pattern, we like this and we're going to have this. And then, well, I would be very, in my opinion, immodest. And I believe this is what the scripture teaches, immodest to ignore your needs. You are my guest, and just do what I want to do. You're not going to have a good time. I don't think, I know Jesus wouldn't be that way. Okay. So we pattern ourselves after the cultures of the world, just in so many ways, and we really don't have to. I'll tell you a great example of not patterning of not following, how about that, the cultures. I've been talking all morning. I don't know how many more words I have left today. But following the culture of the world, I have a very, very good friend who is getting married, and the culture of her family is to have alcohol at the weddings, and many people do, and that's their choice. And she did not want to have alcohol at her wedding. She wanted all the fun mixed drinks and the cute little cups and the umbrellas, but she wanted no alcohol. And of course she got pushed back from the family, and some were very ugly and said, well, we're not coming if you don't have alcohol. Long story short, they all came. There was no alcohol, none. And we all had the best time. It was great. So, you know, we just pattern after the world because we're not thinking. You know, and I really meant what I said. It just annoys me when I'm in a group of people and they're all just nodding, yes, yes. I'm like, are you even listening to what's being said? Maybe you should be saying no, or maybe you should tilt your head with a question, but we're asleep. The church is asleep. And I say, wake up and pay attention to what you're hearing, because it might not be 100% true. Okay? So, and sometimes this hybrid, with the hybrid, oh gosh, it's so hard to talk about the hybrid theology. Man, I'm going to take a deep dive here without giving a whole lot of explanation because I'm still looking at it. But I do know the ideology. It's called evangelical progressivism. Now that's hard. I would say go Google that one and you'll get tired of looking at what that is. That's such a mutt of a theology. It's just mixed with a little bit of everything. But you'll hear an evangelical progressive sound like they have a biblical worldview, but in practicality and in life, they're not living that out. So that's dangerous, because you are listening to someone who sounds like they're saying the right thing, but when the rubber meets the road, they're not living out a biblical worldview. Their worldview is mixed with some cultural things. And yeah, honestly, a big space for that hybrid is with women and the way we carry ourselves in public. I mean, so much is said, it's my body, it's my choice. I can wear that if I want to. If it trips him up for me to wear what I wear, then that's his fault. It's not my fault. I'm not responsible for him. I say, no, you're not responsible for him, but we have a responsibility to him. That's the modest way to go. That's the Christ way to go. And when I say modesty, I'm not talking about just, you know, covering up. When I talk about modesty, I'm talking about revealing dignity. Think about it like that. How can I reveal my dignity every day when I am in public, even revealing my dignity when I'm home just with my husband? You know, I know the secrets of good marriage, you know. And one of it is you don't show it all day long. So when he does get to that piece later in the day, he's excited about it. I think girls need to know that. The reason a lot of marriages are falling apart is girls don't know how to bait their husbands. They're just out there all day long. And then it's so he loses his sensitivity. You know, I know better than that. I know exactly what's going on at home when I'm just with him, you know.
Exactly.
Because it's special.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not something he's seen all day. It's not something I've shown to every man in the world. You're not going to see me in a picture on Facebook that some guy can print out and blow up and pin up on his wall. So, I mean, there's just a lot. We have bought into this stupid culture. Girls are, I'm okay like this and I'm okay like that. And since I'm very sensitive to women's ministry, it's okay. And if I think like this, it's okay. It's my choice. Yeah. My rights, my choice, my body, my choice. I say no. Your body belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
He's the creator and he's the owner.
That's right.
He is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. So, I mean, all souls belong to God.
There you go.
Creation belongs to God. I don't care if he's the Lord of your life or not. You still belong to him. You are his. And people don't get that. I mean, that's not taught.
No.
We're taught you have rights, you have choices. You do. You do. But I'm here to tell you, at the end of the day, you don't choose the consequences.
There you go.
Yeah.
You remind me of Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm.
When the disciples hung with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking questions, and he landed the plane. He said, whoa. Don't be deceived.
Well, in Matthew 24, aspect. I believe he's talking about what the last days are going to look like, because the disciples just asked him two or three questions, and he's answering them. And he says, many will say, You know, I'm the Christ. I'm the Christ. I'm right. Follow me. Bottom line. Look at my worldview. Follow me. And Jesus says, no, don't listen to that. Know the truth. And he says, when the Son of Man comes, I'll be coming in the clouds. I'll be in the clouds. Now, I want to see a man come down from heaven in the clouds and say he's the Christ. The only one who can do that is Jesus. And so we treat people like they're the Christ, that they're all knowing and omniscient as our God is, and they are not. You know, we're to honor men and respect men, but there's only one God, and his name is Jesus, and he's the ruler of the heavens. He's the ruler of the earth. Yeah, I can see our sessions are getting out of here.
How about we wrap it up? Those are the words I want you to talk to me about. Purge and purpose.
Well, that's called self-denial.
Come on,
and
break
change
that
and cleansing, repentance. Yeah, but that's what we see in Josiah.
Boom.
He sought the Lord. He started seeking the Lord when he became king at 8. He started seeking the Lord at 16. And then we see him at 20. And in his early 20s, he purges the temple first. And then he purges the city of Jerusalem. He purges Judah. What is he? He's honoring the God that he's hearing about through the prophets. Zephaniah said, seek the Lord during the days of Josiah. So we see when Josiah is 16, he began to seek the Lord. And then he began to purge the land and cleanse the temple. And so he has a heart that has been cultivated. Somebody is helping this young man seek the Lord. And that's what you can see in the assumption and the presupposition of the text. He became king and he did right in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first thing it says about him before we know that he's 16. He's 8 and he does right in the sight of the Lord. Somebody is raising the kid right. Okay? So he's thinking, probably, I don't want to add to the scriptures, but you can see if he is doing right, then he has got to have a sense of purpose. He's the king and he's 8. He's being coached on how to make decisions, okay? And then Zephaniah prophesied, seek the Lord. He started seeking the Lord, did the best he could. He is surrounded by priests, okay? And then he commissions the priests. He knows that this church, this house of the Lord needs to be repaired. He sends them to do that. He takes down all the idolatrous idols. Here we go, in the land. This is what we need to do. As we're seeking the Lord, we're learning the truth. We're understanding his holiness. We're understanding his worth to be worshipped. We've got to purge our hearts. We've got to tear down those high places that where we want to worship at the altar of culture. We cannot do that. Because if we're worshiping at the altar of culture and trying to worship at the altar of Jesus, that's a 2 Kings 17. That's a synchronism. You cannot do that. And so just in a few chapters over, you see Josiah, a young man who sought the Lord. His heart is pure, therefore his actions are pure. It's just a powerful story when you follow what the Bible has to say about Josiah. And I love that he's a youth, I guess, in our terms today. And then he's a young adult. He's a youth. He sought the Lord in his youth. I guess he's a baby. 8 years old, he's gotta be a baby. My Lord. He's a baby when he becomes king, but at 16, he begins to seek the Lord. He hears the word of the prophet, and you can tell he has a heart and an ear for the word of the Lord. And then it's not until they purge that temple, he's in his early 20s, that he actually hears the word of the Lord, the written word of the Lord for the first time, the 5 books, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And I read that scripture from Deuteronomy about the requirements of king. And one of the requirements of the king was to write the Pentateuch for himself in the presence of a priest. And if he messed up, he had to start the whole thing over. So here's a guy whose heart has been cultivated to hear the truth and respond the truth. He's been taught. It's been like cultivating soil. You know, it's been made right so that it would grow things in the right way. His heart has been cultivated. And when he actually hears the word of God, the written word of God, I mean, he's undone. And he repents. He's already purging the land because he is hearing the prophets. But when he hears, he repents that he has not done what that word has said. And then the Lord says, because you repent, I'm not going to let you see the destruction, but I'm a holy God, and I'm going to destroy this evil. And God uses Josiah to show mankind how God feels about idolatry and about the things that are wrong. You got to get rid of that. You got to be clean. You got to be pure. And what is our purpose? Ephesians 1, I believe it is, it says that he called us, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy. Our purpose is to be holy, is to be pleasing to God. And so when we are caving into the culture, I just want to say we're not pleasing to God. And it is a narrow road. Alicia, you are so narrow-minded. Thank you. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And Jesus, and even Jesus, few there are that find it. That used to scare me. And even as a young child, 8 years old, I became a Christian when I was 7 years old. When I'm hearing, few find it, that would scare me. It would. And I would want that. So all my life, I was taught to respect the word of God, and it was modeled for me. So I get the Josiah piece.
Yes.
And a biblical worldview can be taught. And I believe in the sessions today when I just gave them, this is the backup. If you can hang with these 7 statements about the Bible and about people and the condition of man, if those are okay, then you are on your way to developing, cultivating a biblical worldview. So it's a big deal. But like I said last night, our biblical worldview does inform how we live and every choice that we make. And our biblical worldview will matter when we stand before Jesus Christ. That's where it all comes together.
All together.
Be ready. And yet live to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap up this way. An incredible, faithful servant that you talk about often, Kay Arthur.
Oh.
Talk about how God has used her to cause you to seek after the Father in that biblical worldview.
Well, she teaches the Bible so clearly, you know. And again, from growing up the way I did to meeting her in Precept Ministries later in life, I had a heart already conditioned that wanted to know the truth. Even those days riding the truth bus, I was in truth for 6 years, and this is before I learned to study inductively, but I love the word of God. Thankful for a mom and dad that brought me into that. But when I did meet Kay, she just taught the word so beautifully, and the method, the inductive method, just became so sweet to me because I could understand scripture for myself, and I can pick up any passage. I know how to read it and mark it, look for key words, cross-reference it. She's given me the tools for that. The inductive study Bible is my first and main tool, and then all the Bible studies that are written at Precept Ministries are inductive studies, and that's the only way I've ever studied the Bible. I thank the Lord for it because it's taught me to handle the scriptures with integrity and to rightly divide the word of truth. So Kay Arthur is a dear, dear friend. She's in a sweet new season now. She's not teaching anymore, but I don't think I've seen a sweeter Kay Arthur than I see right now. She absolutely loves everybody, talks to everybody, introduces everybody to each other. She is a gracious lady, a gracious hostess, still absolutely beautiful and serving the Lord in a different way. I see her living now the things that she's taught. And so it's just, she is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes you so thankful for those people who have gone before us, alongside us.
Yeah. She is a friend now who will lean on me or you or lean on others to help her.
Yeah.
And she's been the friend that we've leaned on for years, you know. Amen. She will reach out for your hand to help her.
See.
And I mean, nothing, nothing would please me more than walking with my mentor and helping her get to the next place that she needs to get to. It's just sweet.
What a privilege.
She's in a new season. And when I do get to talk to her, and I spent Thanksgiving with her this past year, all I want is, I want to really honor her, honor my parents and the legacy of faith that they left me with in trusting the Lord with all my heart, believing the scriptures, working hard to understand the scriptures, sharing them with other people, and mostly living it out so that the pragmatic will say, oh, it works. It must be true. So, yeah.
Yeah, so true. If people do want to get in touch with you, how do they contact you? What's the best way?
A lot of people get in touch with me through iMessage on Facebook. That is one way. And, you know, that's just a great way. That's where folks are now,
okay. And
I'm there. So I would say iMessage on Facebook is okay. A really good way. Or they can contact me here at Lake Church,
okay.
dfw.org. Uh-huh. My email here at the church is agarcia@lakechurchdfw.org.
agarcia@lakechurchdfw.org.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Patty.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alicia.
I hope this is good and helpful. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. The Waymaker leads on.
Amen. Uh-huh. Another word for cultivate is sanctification.
Yes.
You know, not everybody understands that word, but we understand cultivate, we understand develop.
Yeah.
But we're growing spiritually. That's what we're talking about.
Growing. Amen. Amen.
Getting better every day.
Amen. Well, thank you, Alicia, for spending time on Straight Talk with Patty.
Thanks for listening to Straight Talk with your host, Patty Foster. Patty is a motivational speaker, writer, musician, and has an amazing testimony of God's faithfulness. For more information, log on to www.pattyfoster.com.